Welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio, New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Today is October 9, 2024, John Lennon's birthday. And this is Season 2, Episode 35 of the podcast. Today we're going to is a Shakedown Street extravaganza. We're going to take a look at the 1985, June 30th, 1985, Meriwether Shakedown, widely regarded as the best version of Shakedown Street. Reason I say that is it came out number one in a poll in Dead Bass, and also it came out number one in Heady Version. It was ranked number one. So I'd say, it's safe to say that that would be ranked the best version. And definitely one worth dissecting and taking a look at, because what makes Shakedown Street, what makes a hot Shakedown Street, I think you could just look at this Meriwether version, dissect it, go into the laboratory, dissect it, and all the elements of a great Shakedown are in this version. And then after doing that, I'll discuss some of the other great Shakedowns, like we'll do the top seven Shakedowns of all time. But with a big focus starting off on the Meriwether version. Last week, there was no Deadology podcast. I went to the Master of Telecasters Guitar Camp in Big Indian, New York at the Full Moon Resort. I don't play guitar, but my friend Perry is an accomplished musician, mandolin, guitar. He mentioned it to me, and I decided, hey, I want to go. There was about 80 people up there. 80 campers, students who are checking out the masters. And out of those 80, there was one or two who didn't play guitar. I was obviously one of those people. I'm a novice piano player, but I came away, gained a lot of musical knowledge from it. So the reason I went, when Perry mentioned to me the extraordinary talent that was going to be there, I was like, I got to go just as a spectator, if nothing else. So they had G. Smith, who I have seen like 20 times with Bob Dylan at the start of the Neverending Tour. Larry Campbell was also there. I've probably seen him 30, 40 times during his 7 or 8 year run with the Neverending Tour. Cindy Cashdollar was there. She appeared on Time Out of Mind. So there was definitely a big Bob Dylan influence in the air. And also, this one meant a lot to me. John Harrington was there from Steely Dan. He's played with Steely Dan lead guitarist for the last 25 years. And I've seen Steely Dan about 10 times during that period. So I found going to this thing was irresistible. Besides all those, the people I just mentioned, we also got jazz master Bill Frisell was there, Albert Lee, Joe Louis Walker, Jim Weeder, Guthrie Trapp, Red Volkert, and that's just naming some of the folks who were there. So the beauty of this thing was that every night there was a concert, like a 2-hour concert featuring the people who did the workshop. You know, GE and Campbell would play it for Zell, and it was they would just call up different people, and it was four of the most amazing nights, amazing concerts you'll ever want to see. And there's only 80 people there, so they're really playing for you, very intimate. And the workshops during the day were incredible, too, because during the workshops, there were like four workshops every day. You would catch three or four performances during those, aside from learning about playing guitar and hearing all the stories, you would catch three or four more performances. So every day was a good 4 or 5 hours of up close and personal music, man. It was so incredible. And so even just like hearing... What stuck out was like G. Smith was, you know, talking to class, telling his stories. I got to speak to him afterwards. Just that man is a walking modern history of music. And there were so many other great stories and just learning from how these people got to be where they are in their careers. It was an amazing experience. So glad I did it, even though I don't play Telecaster. And now let's get back to the topic of today's show, Shakedown Street. Shakedown Street was born August 30th, 1978. And I'm going off the top of my head with that. I don't have any notes on that. But I believe that was the first version of the song out in Red Rocks, Colorado. And one of the most beloved songs. Obviously, we'll get a crowd up and dancing the second they hit the opening note of Shakedown Street. But it was always, for me personally, it was always like hit or miss. I was always happy to see Shakedown, but sometimes, basically the way the song was laid out, it was like a blank slate. It was never like an easy path to a great guitar jam when they hit that. Obviously, the first part of the song was all, you know, there was like a path to follow. But when they went for that big jam and Shakedown Street that closes it out, it's like a blank slate. So the degree of difficulty of doing a truly amazing jam on Shakedown Street is pretty high. And, you know, a lot of times I think the band just went out there and poked around, just got to poke around. It was never easy to hit a truly, but when the band hit a great Shakedown Street, it would be the highlight of a show many times, such as it was in Merriweather, June 30th, 1985. So basically, I'm going to take in this Shakedown Street. Just the admiration for this Shakedown Street is incredible. So I do think that most people would recognize it as the best Shakedown Street. I'll get to the other ones after this. But there's three elements. So we're going to listen to three like parts of the Shakedown Street that really make a pop stand out from other versions. And right off the bat, the simplicity of the beginning. And on this occasion, it's the best intro I've ever heard to a Shakedown Street. So one of the beautiful things of this song is, you know, Jerry would do his little noodling around with Mutron filter, getting that great Shakedown sound, and would just build it. The crowd would know it's Shakedown Street, undeniably. Probably name that tune. Shakedown Street was the easiest Dead song to identify, by the way. They'd warm up, and this would build such anticipation in the crowd. And when they hit that thunder chord to open, it was an explosion. Everybody's up and dancing. But on this night in Merriweather, it was just more intense than ever before. The tuning leading up to the opening thunder chord, it's brilliant. It's one of the coolest things I've ever heard. There's a lot of background noise going on. You could tell the other members of the band are playing around, laughing and joking. And Jerry's just locked in, hitting that Shakedown groove. And to me, the tuning is essential listening right off the bat. And then as they proceed into the Shakedown, it's got the best explosion. And everybody in Merriweather was up dancing, whether you could dance or not, man. It was just, it had that type of impact. And Jerry's singing is great. Weir's totally into it. This is the perfect the perfect tuning and the perfect beginning to Shakedown Street. And now I'm going to play that amazing opening to the second set, June 30th, 1985, Merriweather Post Pavilion, Columbia, Maryland. Yeah, so the whole band is into it. You could really feel it there. The tempo's perfect. You know, just everybody in the band is locked in step. But one of the great things of this version is just Jerry's voice. 1985 was a rough singing year for him. It's, you know, there's not a lot of shows where his voice is solid all the way through. But this Shakedown Street, man, his vocals are rich and just exactly the way you want to hear Jerry. So I think that's one of the great successes of this particular version. So the Shakedown rolls along. Can't get off to a better start than this one does. And it continues right through the between verse jam. This is the second awesome element of this Shakedown Street. So they're singing great. Bobby's, you know, all in on the background vocals. So explosive, this version. Now we get to the guitar solo from Jerry here. It's everything you want, man. Just he fills up all the time perfectly. It's lyrical. It's not too much. It's brilliant. It's exactly what you want for a Shakedown jam. I listen to this and I lose my mind every single time I hear the Shakedown Street. Guitar solo is just perfect right here. And the way they go back to the singing. So the second big element is in place. The between verse instrumental. And let's check out this gem right now. Wow, that is so gorgeous, man. Just Jerry singing. What an awesome jam. Bobby, Brent, Phil, the drummers, everybody just doing their part and totally in sync. Just insane improvisation there. So, one of the reasons I'm doing the Shakedown Street special was kind of inspired by the fact that I didn't want to do the June 30th, 85 show by itself. I didn't think it was it's a good show. Shakedown Street is the monster of the show. Everything from June 30th, 85, Meriwether is in the shadow of this great performance. The rest of the show was okay, average show. So yeah, I definitely wanted to, I had to get to this, this beloved Shakedown Street. And obviously, as I mentioned before, number one in, Heady Versions, top ranked in Dead Bass, and good reason is that it's up to this point, it's far and away the best. There's something about it. It's just so powerful. They're in the moment. They're in the groove. Now comes the big test, the big instrumental. If they would have, you know, just if this were not a great instrumental here, it wouldn't have made the top 10 Shakedowns, let alone been in consideration for the best version. But this is an awesome ending jam here, but it's unusual, different from the rest. There's some that I like better than this that I think are better, but the way this unfolds, it's crazy, man. It's just, this is the Grateful Dead. Like a great jam like this, it's like a story. It has an arc, exclamation point at the end, and this one totally delivers on all accounts. So it starts off, it's kind of, I think the story here is what the Grateful Dead were saying, is we're the greatest band known to man, and we could do whatever during any jam and make it happen. And that's what they do in this ending jam, because it starts off, you know, they're kind of poking around, good funky beat, good funky shuffle going on. But, you know, it's like, it's very cool. Brent's doing some stuff. Bobby's doing some stuff. Crowd's dancing, but Jerry's playing along, but it's like he's laying back because he knows he's going to go nuts at the end of this. So it really doesn't develop quickly. It's almost like they go into a vortex. They jam around a little bit. There's no great urgency to anything. You know, they're kind of kicking the ball around, and they're in a circle, kicking a hacky sack around for the first couple of minutes of this. But it's completely enjoyable music, but it's almost like they're creating a vortex. They're pulling down. They're loading up a slingshot, because what happens at the end here is just, it's ridiculous. You know, there's nothing like it in any other Shakedown. Because most of the other good Shakedowns, you're getting the hot jamming all the way through. There's like an easy progression for the listener to follow, and obviously Jerry's hot, and that's what you get in most of these other great versions. This one is just so unique. It's almost like they're pulling down into this vortex just to load up the slingshot, and just what they do here at the end is incredible. So yeah, I don't even know how to do any word justice to it. So here it is, the ending of the Merriweather Shakedown Street, and I'm sure most of you know it, but if you don't, you're gonna love this. Enjoy.
shake it, don't shake it down, shake it. Used to be the heart of town. But this town ain't got no heart. Just gotta poke around. Nothing shake it, don't shake down the street. Used to be the heart of town.
All hail the Merryweather, Shakedown Street. Yeah, what a great great exclamation point for the instrumental there. Definitely puts it in the top tier of Shakedown Streets, without a doubt. And on this night, they rolled into Samson and Delilah after a shakedown. But yeah, that shakedown, I go to it so much, man. Like, if I could play guitar, I would know that note for note. I've heard it like thousands of times, man. Just one of those versions. So enjoyable, all aspects of it, from the singing to the way they close it out. Just exactly perfect, man. Incredible. And they kind of lull you in that big jam. They lull you into a sense of, you know, not even expecting a hot jam. And then they just loading up the slingshot. And boy, did they deliver on that Merryweather shakedown. Now for fun, I'm going to rank the top seven Shakedown Streets. I'm sure everybody's got their favorites, and I'm going to be missing some gems here. But hey, since this is a Shakedown extravaganza, here they are, numbers 1 through 7. Might as well rank them. We could all change our minds on these anytime. But at number 1, I have Oakland. New Year's Eve, December 31st, 1981. It's the most underrated shakedown by far, because I saw it in heady versions, but it was like number 15 or 16. And then I saw it in, I don't think I even seen it in Dead Bass. It wasn't even listed in the book. And I have worshipped this shakedown for so long. I remember getting the tape and just being blown away. I was probably sitting in my parents' room, 17 years old, cup of coffee, doing a couple of bong hits in the morning, and man, this shakedown just blew me away. So obviously it's New Year's, they're in a great mood. Once again, 1981, Jerry's voice is great, they're singing perfect. You could actually watch this on video, it's available on YouTube. And what happens in the jam, and this is like I said with the Merryweather, there was really no motif to the jam. It was like a blank slate, and they made something happen. This jam is something that they started doing in 81 and they did it in 82. When it came time for the big jam, Jerry and Brent would trade. They would do the blues call and response thing. Jerry plays the lead, Brent would follow him, and it was incredible. And then they would build off that and lead into the jam. And on this particular one, it almost sounds like the peak of a hard to handle jam. It's like it's that intense, and Garcia is just, and you can see this on the video. He's in the best of moods, and just this is Garcia at his best. This jam in the Shakedown Street, I got it as number one. I played it on a past episode of the podcast. It was the New Year's Eve countdown. I did the top 10 highlights from New Year's Eve, and I put that there. So you could check it out there, YouTube. The YouTube, just to watch Jerry in the moment, loving it. You know, you could see just smile and the focus, that combination of focus and just enjoying it. Nothing like that December 31st, 81 shakedown. I'd love to see it move higher on these lists, the heady versions. I guess you could vote and still move it up there. But if you love shakedown and you don't know this one, you gotta go to the video, check that out. That's my number one shakedown. I got Merryweather at number 2. So unique, man. That ending jam. It's just, you know, nothing. It's not the best, but there's nothing like it, man. They definitely put the right exclamation point on that. Number 3, the show I was at. Also, the Philly Spectrum, April 6, 1982. And I've put a portion of this on. I did a episode on that particular show, the Snowstorm Show, infamous for the 18 inches of snow in New York. And somehow I made it to the show. A lot of people made it there, and the Dead rewarded us with an incredible set. Once in a lifetime kind of set, Shakedown, Terrapin, Morning Dew, Sugar Mag, all the songs you'd want to hear. But the Shake, there's other great versions. I mean, that's a tremendous show. But the second set starts off with Shakedown. It's a great Shakedown. Very much like the one from 81, 12/31/81, New Year's Eve. They do the same thing. Brent and Jerry do the kind of back and forth trading of licks. And once again, Jerry just goes off on a rampage like he does on the New Year's Eve one. So I got that one and number three. Number four, back to New Year's Eve, 1984. And this one's a biggie. It's about 18 minutes long. It doesn't have that trade-off between Brent and Jerry. That was only like something that happened for a certain period of time, maybe 2 years. But man, the band's locked in and Jerry's just rolling on this. They open up New Year's Eve with this like they did in 81. And it's so powerful. It was selected to be on the So Many Roads box set, one of the first big compilation box sets. They did a great job. I believe the late Steve Silberman was involved with that, with David Gans. They did a great job selecting the numbers for that box set. That's such a cool box set. And so they did it awesome. They got it right, man. This one is definitely one of the best of all time. Just Jerry locking into that funky mood. It's at times it sounded a little bit like Get Out of My Life, Woman, when they're jamming in there, but they're the band is on top of this all the way through for 17 minutes. Everything's moving forward in the right direction on that version. It's a monster. 12/31/84. And by the way, comparing the two New Year's Eve shows, the 1981 New Year's Eve could be the best ever of all the New Year's Eve shows. It's that good. I don't know what I would put ahead of that one. It's just tremendous. Three sets. You got Dark Star, Morning Dew, that great Shakedown opener. There's a Hot Cold Rain in there. Joan Baez opens up before the Grateful Dead take the stage. It's just one long, incredible show. Delivers all the way through. The 1984 show is surprisingly good. If you look at the set list, it's not the longest of New Year's Eve shows, but there's definitely incredible highlights like the Shakedown Street, and there's a great Fire on the Mountain from that show. But as far, it doesn't compare to the 81 show, but definitely worth a listen because there's really some unbelievable rocking moments there. Now, moving on with my impromptu Shakedown countdown, or well, it's not a countdown, I'm counting. It started at number one, so it's here's number five for you. This is from February 17th, 1979, Oakland Coliseum. This was Donna and Keith's last show. They do Shakedown near the end of the show. It's Wheel into Shakedown. And it's it's a segue, but it's almost not a segue because they almost pause before they go into Shakedown. But it's a pause, so I'd have to consider it a Wheel into Shakedown. And this show, Keith and Donna, for a last show, it's truly incredible. This might be the show of the year of 1979 all the way through. The playing is just intense, off the hook. And so at the end of this Wheel, Jerry hits like these butter hits frying pan note. That is the sizzling, you know, it's just unbelievable. The jam at the end of this Wheel before they decide to go into Shakedown. And then there's this funky redirection of the beat and an opening instrumental. It's incredible at the beginning. So here it is, the start of the Shakedown coming out of the Wheel. February 17th, 1979. Man, that's funkadelic, man. The Grateful Dead could take music in so many directions. It was limitless what they were able to do, and their improvisation. There was no boundaries to it. It went into any kind of American music, jazz, blues, whatever, country. And there's another great example. They're kind of sounding a little like Sly and the Family Stone with that Shakedown Street. And very cool version. As it rolls along, it goes back into playing where Shakedown stops and where playing starts. Nobody knows, but it's a huge jam. Definitely worth checking out. 217-79, Keith and Donna's last show. And what a great last show that is. Like, you know, you figure you're coming to the end of an era. It might not be a happy-go-lucky last show. This was just an amazing celebration. You know, everybody was in the mood. It's the end of one era, but somehow they played so great on that night. And in fact, if they play like that on more nights earlier in 79, Keith and Donna probably never would have left, or they never would have been left or asked to leave, however it went down. But February 17th in Oakland, unbelievable show. And for number six, we're going to keep it in 79. And the main highlight of this performance is another great segue from one song into Shakedown Street. In fact, this is even better than the one from Oakland. This is Springfield, January 15th, 1979. They open up the second set with I Need a Miracle. This is the greatest I Need a Miracle of all time. The jam is nuts. Nothing even comes close. So definitely, if you get a chance, check this out. I think I have it up on my Positively Garcia page, the I Need a Miracle Shakedown. And then the segue into Shakedown, brilliant, man. Like this one, but even better. And I think the Oakland Shakedown has the Springfield one by a hair. So I put the Oakland one first. But they're kind of similar from the same era. And definitely worthy of these great rankings. Number six, Springfield. The Civic Center, where the Grateful did a lot of damage through the years. A lot of great shows there. So January 15th, 1979. And the last Shakedown we're going to give you here is number seven from Egypt, the second Shakedown ever played by the Grateful Dead. And I'm going to play a nice long 12-minute chunk. This is the longest Shakedown jam. It's so different than anything we've heard so far or you'll ever hear again. It's such a unique Shakedown. But before we go with that, that's going to be the outro. Just a little reminder, Doug Schmell will be here next week, October 1974, that great Winterland show. We're going to really dig into that 50th anniversary. 40th anniversary is going to be the Syracuse Carrier Dome show. June 20th, 84, the amazing Jack Straw attends set one. That show, by the way, has a pretty cool shakedown, the 10-20-84. But we're going to talk about that a little, but we're going to spend more time on that insane Winterland show from 74. And on the topics I've covered so far today, Shakedown Street was one of the 33 essential Grateful Dead jam anthems that I put in my book, Deadology Volume 2. Shakedown, when played to the hilt, one of the greatest Grateful Dead songs ever, without doubt. And also, today's October 9th. 40 years ago today, I was in Worcester, second row. One of the best shows I've ever seen. Could be the most exciting show I've ever seen, start to finish. Jack Straw, fourth song, second set. That He's Gone Smokestack, the first time they played Smokestack in 18 years, since Pig passed, I think it was 13 years. Just an incredible evening. I've talked about that in one of my earlier podcasts where I did a whole October 9th thing. But it's the 40th anniversary of that awesome show, October 9th. An awesome day in Grateful Dead history. And that leads to Deadology Volume 1. The 33 essential dates of Grateful Dead history. October 9th's one. December 31st, New Year's Eve, obviously, is one. With all the great shows they played on that date. So my books are available on Amazon, tangleupintunes.com. And now we're going to Egypt for the final selection, number 7 on the Shakedown Street Extravaganza. So this Shakedown, they don't have all the verses in. They got the first 2 verses. They're not doing well. You can never tell yet. I think after this version, they got it together and the song was full. But they're in Egypt, man. And these Egypt shows didn't produce a lot of great material, surprisingly. You would have thought it would have produced a little more. This Shakedown Street, far and away, is the coolest thing from all those Egypt shows. So they do 2 verses. It's a new song. Second time they're playing it. And they get to the jam, which is like the between verse instrumental. But on this performance, there's no third verse to go back to yet. So they just take off. This is like 12 minutes. And it's got everything, man. It's spiritual. This is the Grateful Dead. They were if they were ever in the moment in Egypt playing, this is it. It's incredible in front of the great pyramids. What an experience, and what a gonna sign off and say goodbye. See you next week. But stay in for this 12-minute instrumental. There's nothing like it. One of the coolest jams, and definitely the longest you'll ever hear in any Shakedown Street. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Until we get together again next week, peace out. Just got